Amen. Thank you, Matt, Jackie, and William leading us in worship this morning. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 11 this morning. How do you know you really get grace? How do you know you really understand it? First of all, you have to become overwhelmed with your sickness. You have to become overwhelmed with your sinfulness. If you've never been overwhelmed with your sinfulness, you're never going to really get grace. You're never going to really understand grace at a deeper biblical level. Second of all, after you become overwhelmed with your sinfulness, you become overwhelmed with God's love for you. So when you finally recognize your sinfulness from a biblical perspective, and then you begin to truly recognize and realize the love of God and what He's done for you through Jesus Christ, you're on your way to grace. You're on your way to truly getting it, to where it changes your life. And then, last but not least, when you really get grace, you surrender control to Jesus Christ. You surrender trying to control all the people around you and all the circumstances around you, and you can lay that stuff at the feet of Jesus and let Him be God. That's when you know you really get grace. That's how you know you truly understand grace. And that's what we're going to talk about. I've entitled this Legalism versus Grace because, as you know, the Judaizers were constantly trying to draw these new believers in Galatia back into obedience to the law to be okay with God. And we're going to see that here again in a minute. But they were always mixing works with grace. The Judaizers were. And this was Paul's biggest fear, that those Galatians were going to fall back into that world. Not to the Jewish world, because they weren't part of that, but they had their own idol worship going on. And so Paul's biggest fear, and Paul was saying, listen, you guys got to understand, grace and works, they do not mix. It's like mixing oil and water. That's about the best way I know to describe it. And so that's where we're at today as we look in Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Paul says, however, at that time, when you did not know God, he's talking to the Galatians, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. In other words, they were idols. They had been worshiping idols. Verse 9. But now that you've come to know God, or rather being known by God, how is it that you turn back again to these weak, worthless, elemental things of this world? To the ways of this world, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again. In other words, salvation by works is the way of the world that you and I live in. It is the way of every religion except Christianity. And so Paul is going, how do you ever want to go back to spending your whole life trying to do enough good to make up for the bad that you've done? Why would anybody go back to that? You observe days and months and seasons and years, meaning they were influenced by these Judaizers to keep the Jewish Sabbaths, the Jewish festivals and celebrations, along with being circumcised. You see, the legalist always needs you to be like him and do like him. That's how you know you're dealing with a legalist. They don't leave you the freedom to live for God the way that you feel led. Well, if you don't go knock door to door witnessing with me, then you don't love Jesus. Nothing could be further from the truth. I love Jesus, but I'm not going to go door to door witnessing to you or with you, because I have the gift of mercy. And pounding on somebody's door and then having them become a prisoner of mine on the front porch while I witness to them is not the way God leads me to witness. I have the gift of mercy. So I can see when somebody's hurting, and I can come alongside them. And I can be talking to you about how to fix a mower 1 minute, and then be talking to you about how to get saved with Jesus Christ through faith the very next minute. So God has made us all different. He's given us all different personalities. He's given us all different ways to communicate. How we communicate with each other differs as well. And so you let God use you the way he created you, and you'll be fine and you'll be happy. But a legalist has always got to draw you in to do things his way or her way. And so the Judaizers kept saying, listen, you got to be like us. You got to observe these Jewish Sabbaths, these festivals, and all these celebrations and all these rituals along with being circumcised. And so while God has given his people, the Jews, these special holidays and these special rituals to keep them from forgetting him so that they would constantly be reminded of him and his love for him, those things were never meant to be a means of salvation. Verse 11. Paul says, I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. In other words, my biggest fear is that you've missed it. After all we've been through together, after all the witnessing and all the discipleship, somehow you're missing the grace of God and what it really means. Now think about it with me for a moment. What these believers had received by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Look in your notes there with me for a moment. One commentator writes, let me turn this over. Somehow this didn't get in the plastic, and so it's just freely floating in my notes. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 1, 2 through 3. He says, grace to you and peace from God. One of the ways you know you understand grace is you experience a peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, grace to you and peace from God. When there's conflict around you and there's chaos around you, you experience this peace that comes from God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, listen to this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And all of it, all of these, you and I already have all the blessings that we can possibly have from our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of it is free of charge. It's all given to us by the grace of God for the individual that puts their faith in Christ Jesus. Even though they did nothing to deserve it. Even though they did nothing to deserve it, it was all theirs by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 in your notes. Paul says, for by grace, draw a little square around those two words or circle those two words, by grace. For by grace, again, that means God did something for you that you could never do for yourself, which is save yourself. Or make yourself right with a perfect God. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Circle that phrase, through faith. And then draw a little arrow out there and write in Christ Jesus, because that's what the Bible teaches. You've been saved by grace, by God's grace, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? And that is not of yourselves. It is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Okay? Now, a lot of times when I'm preaching, I'll type in the free gift of God. And it says that in several places in the scripture. But my computer always wants to back me up. My computer always wants to correct me, because what my computer's saying is, dude, if it's a gift, you don't have to put in there that it's free. That's a no-brainer, Irvin, right? So my computer always does that little red underline in there saying, you need to change this. This is redundant. But that's what this is all about. That's what your salvation and the grace that you've been given through Jesus Christ is a free gift of God. And then verse 9 says, and circle the word not, or underline it, not as a result of your works. Not as a result of your good deeds. Not as a result of you trying to do enough good to make up for the bad. So that, and I love this, no one may boast In heaven, nobody's going to boast. In heaven, the only thing you'll ever boast about is not your athletic ability. The only thing you'll ever boast about is not how much money you've made or the truck you drive. The only thing you'll ever boast about is Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. Bottom line, the Galatians had moved way beyond their ignorance of God and their slavery to idolatry, verse 8, to being free in Christ and children of God by the grace of God. And once again, God's grace is God doing for you what you could never do for yourself, which is working out your own salvation. And by your salvation, the Bible means your deliverance. It means your deliverance from sin, your deliverance from slavery and death. Point number one. When you really understand grace, it produces a love for God and a gratefulness to God because you're overwhelmed. You've been overwhelmed with your sinfulness, and now you're overwhelmed with forgiveness that comes from the love of God. So when you really understand grace, it produces a love for God and a gratefulness to God, listen, that will lead you to trust and obey Him. Not force you, but lead you to trust and obey Him. You say legalism forces you while grace leads you. One commentator says it this way: we've been adopted as children of God. We're not slaves assigned to a life of devotional drudgery or menial task, religious task. We're not people who've been forced into this devotional drudgery or these menial religious tasks on a checklist of divine demands. Rather, we've been called to an intimate heart-to-heart relationship with God. And so Paul is saying to the Galatians in verse 9, now that you have this intimate love relationship with the one true God, not only do you personally know God, but more important, you are intimately known by Him, and because of the grace that He's shown you through the person and the work of His only Son and His only Savior, Jesus Christ, why in the world would you ever want to become enslaved all over again to a life of legalism, being forced to obey all of God's command to somehow try to win His approval? Remember, the Judaizers were trying to convince these Galatian believers that they needed Christ plus perfect obedience to the Mosaic law to be justified and win favor with God. And a legalist will listen to this. A legalist will manipulate you, coerce, control, intimidate, and even ridicule you and shame you to force you to become like them. Think about what I just said to you. Think about the world we live in, and let me say this again. A legalist will manipulate you, coerce you, try to control you, intimidate you, even ridicule you and blame you and shame you in order to force you to come over to their side and be like them. Point number two. Number one, when you really understand grace, it produces a love for God and a gratefulness to God that will miraculously, the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you to trust and obey God. Secondly, it'll be one of the biggest desires of your heart will be to love God, trust God, and obey God. It won't be work for you every day. You literally can't wait to get up in the morning and be with God, to break open His Word, to spend time in prayer with Him. That's the best, however long that is, time of your entire day is that time with God in the morning. Once you truly receive and begin to abide in the grace of God. Number two, the problem with legalism is that it's performance-based and it will never end. Enough will never be enough. It just keeps going and going and going because legalism is based on your performance. It's based on your performance to somehow win God's favor. And the problem then is that your performance has to be 100% perfect because God is 100% perfect. One slip and you're not good enough anymore. Meaning now you have to figure out a way to work harder and harder to gain and keep God's approval so you can go to heaven one day. And therefore the work is never ending and the peace of mind is ever elusive. Listen, people who don't understand grace never get rest. They never get rest. And they're incredibly insecure. Put another way, if you're relying on the works-based system of salvation, which is what this world relies on, meaning you're going to somehow work your way to heaven, then you're going to be working long after the cows come home. Long after the cows come home. In fact, you will spend the rest of your life trying harder and harder to somehow obey God and win and keep his approval. And it is exhausting because you're never going to get there. It's exhausting. And the result, don't miss this, the result of all of that hard work is that you finally give up. Why? Because it's impossible. You finally give up and you walk away. Listen to this. You finally give up and you walk away when the whole time it was already taken care of for you at the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. The other thing about legalism, don't miss this, that's just exhausting, is that you're constantly driven to attend church, read your Bible, pray, and serve God out of guilt, anxiety over where you're going to spend eternity, the fear of rejection, and the need for approval. Put another way, you're doing all the right things, but you're doing them for all the wrong reasons. And that's why legalism is so easy to fall into. You can actually be legalistic and not even realize it at times. Whereas with grace, you're led by the amazing love that you've been shown by your Savior, and you're led by the gratitude you have for the wonderful forgiveness and freedom that is now yours in Christ Jesus. Put another way, you're excited to go to church and fellowship with God's family. You're excited to read your Bible and hear a word from God that morning. You're excited to pray and talk to God and find out what his purpose is and his program is for your life. And finally, you're excited to serve your Lord because of the intimacy that you know you share with him. It's thanks to the love and the grace that he's poured out on you. And now you're doing all the right things for all the right reasons. One commentator says it like this. It's living a thank you life and a want-to life based on relationship rather than a have-to life based on the law. But let's be clear about something this morning. These activities, such as church-going, Bible reading, praying, and serving God, don't earn us favor with God or make us his children. You have been saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And these spiritual disciplines, when exercised by grace through faith, only enhance your walk with God. Only enhance your relationship with God. You begin to experience God at a deeper level than ever before. And it grows in you. And as it grows in you, you just want more and more and more. I cannot think about starting my day until I have my time with the Lord. And I learned a long time ago, you gotta quit putting a time limit on this servant. And there's sometimes I'm stressed, man, because I got a lot going on and I got a lot coming at me that morning. But I go and I have time with Jesus. I'm in his word. I'm in prayer. I'm listening to him. I'm talking to him. I'm waiting on him. I'm worshiping him. And there's no time limit anymore. I quit doing that a long, long time ago. And it's amazing how God gets done what needs to be done that day. And if I just be with him. Now, I don't have to. I'm not saying that if I needed to be at work at 8, I'd blow that off, right? So let me clarify. I don't have to do like you do and have to be at work at some time. But when you get up at 4, by 8 o'clock, I've already been long through my day. And so if I needed to be there, I could be there. But I can't wait. Sometimes I'll wake up and I'll go, is it 4 yet? No, man. I got to go back to sleep. I can't wait till 4 o'clock comes. Because I can't wait to go in there, fix my coffee, and be with the Lord. That's when you know you get grace. That's when you know you finally are beginning to understand the grace of God. Because your time with God and your walk to God, with God is so valuable that you can't even think about going without it. All right, hold on. I can't see my notes. Now, this is what Paul is telling them. You're totally free because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You're totally free of working for your salvation and or your inheritance if you're in Christ. No more working for a living. Y'all remember Huey? What was that dude's name? Huey Lewis, yeah. Didn't that dude sing that song? No more working for a living or something like that? But you have been completely forgiven and set free from all of your sins, past, present, and future, and you don't owe God anything because Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. That's crazy love, right? Somebody wrote a book. Some pastor wrote a book. I don't remember the dude's name, called Crazy Love. I'm going to write a book one day called Crazy Grace. That's when you know you understand the grace of God. And that's why Paul was so stressed about these believers and them going back to this works-based belief system that really is, and listen to this closely, a no-grace-required religion. And that's terrifying. Because then it's all on you. It's all on you to spend the rest of your life performing somehow to be okay with God. That you can get into a perfect place called heaven where no sin is ever allowed. Praise God, right? I don't want to go to heaven and it be a second earth. I always tell my wife, whatever happens, don't resuscitate me, man. If I'm on my way to heaven, don't bring me back here. You know what I mean? I think that kind of stresses her out a little bit. But anyway. All right, point number 3. Number 1, when you really understand grace, it produces a love for God and a gratefulness to God that will automatically lead you to trust and obey God. It won't be work anymore. It won't be drudgery anymore. Number 2, the problem with legalism is that it's always performance-based and it will never end. It's never going to get you home. Number 3, and this is Romans 11:6, word for word, but if by grace, then it's no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. So as you can imagine, Paul's stress level knew no bounds when he feared that everything he had taught them had gone out the window. Because if salvation is by grace, then it cannot be mixed with works. Lest, according to Romans 11:6, you cancel out grace. You throw out grace. And so he redirects the Galatians back to a biblical relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul asks, are you really willing to go back? Are you really willing to go back into slavery to an uncaring and impersonal idol, a god with a little g, verse 8, instead of enjoying an intimate personal relationship with the one true God, verse 9, that loved you so much that he would rather die for you than live without you? And the Bible is clear that anyone who knows God and his son Jesus Christ has eternal life, John 17, 3. Look at it in your notes. This is eternal life, Jesus said. This was his last prayer before he went to the cross, praying to his Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And you know what's interesting about the phrase to know in the Bible, when it's used in the Bible? That phrase means to know much more than just being intellectually aware that God exists. The phrase to know actually conveys the idea of having a personal and intimate relationship with someone. And so the Bible says this is eternal life, that they may know you, have a personal and intimate relationship with you, the only true God, and your only Son and only Savior, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In other words, eternal life begins when you move past just intellectually acknowledging that there's a God up there that's done something for you, but you move into a personal love relationship with God, the God of the universe, by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:3, but if anyone loves God, he is known by God. One author writes, Christians, listen to this closely, Christians who are no longer sure that God loves and accepts them in Jesus, apart from their spiritual achievements, are subconsciously, radically insecure persons. Bottom line, God's love and acceptance of us is rock solid because it's based on his grace, not our works. And it's based on the perfect life of his Son, Jesus Christ, lived, listen, on our behalf, and the death he died in our place. Therefore, and let me say this to you, and listen to me. I'm about to wrap this up, but don't miss this. We must remain very cautious that we're not slipping back into legalism and making idols of other people's opinions of us or our own self-approval. The gospel of Jesus Christ proves to us once and for all that we don't have to improve ourselves to be accepted by God. When I was in my 20s, I got saved when I was 18, but it took a few years for me and the Lord to get some stuff nailed down. When I was in my 20s, I worked in nightclubs in Dallas and in Arlington. Me and some other guys had our own valet parking business, and so we worked in nightclubs all over Dallas and in Arlington. And one of these nightclubs was called Randy's, and it was named after the owner, and it was a super, super nice nightclub, if there is such a thing. But you had to wear a full-blown suit and tie to get in Randy's. And famous people hung out in Randy's, like a lot of the Cowboys, the Mavericks, some of those top people hung out in Randy's. And so I was always meeting these different people. But one time, this dude named George Michaels visits Randy's. Y'all remember that dude? He was some rock star. And he thinks he's going to get in his jeans with holes in them and just his button-up polo shirt. And but see, Randy's was ruled by the law of Randy. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter how good you thought you were. It didn't matter how great you thought you were. It didn't matter how successful you thought you were. If you tried to get in Randy's without a full-blown suit and tie on, you were out. And the head manager there, I'm trying to remember that dude's name. I think his name was Randy as well. He was Chuck Norris's double in Walker, Texas Ranger. And he was one bad dude, okay? Nicest guy on the planet until you somehow decide you're not going to obey the law of that nightclub. And I watched him march Mike Hegman out there. And you remember that dude played linebacker for the Cowboys? I watched Randy, who was about that tall, march Mike Hegman out the door of Randy's one time because he wasn't obeying the law. And so that's how things went. There was no grace. You did it Randy's way or you did it no way. There was never any grace at all. But you and I serve a perfect God that's perfect in every way. And by his grace, you don't have to change clothes. I got saved way before I got right with God. God showed me my sin and I accepted Jesus Christ and I got saved. And God started working on me over time. There were still a lot of things me and the Lord needed to work through after my salvation, but I didn't get my act together and then come to God. Jesus Christ saved me because he is the only way you can come to God. It doesn't matter how good you look, how nice you dress, you're never going to get into heaven apart from faith in Jesus Christ. He is God's only Son and he is God's only Savior. And by his grace, we are fully and completely accepted by God based on the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Put another way, God did for us what we could never do for ourselves when he came to this earth in the person of his only Son and only Savior, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. That you may know the one true God and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Will you join me in